with him.
I want to pray that the Lord will use him to speak to us this morning. I want to pray that the power of the Lord will come over him, that he will be an instrument in the hand of the Lord this morning. Father, we pray and present our pastor to you this morning. We pray that you will use him as a channel of blessing to us this morning. May you bless your word in his mouth, that it will bless us as we listen to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. So what do I press here? All right. I hope everyone is, we have birthday celebration, we have anniversary, we also have new babies that we are celebrating. And it seems like that we are increasing in numbers inwardly. And for those of you who are here for the first time, a special welcome to you guys. We are so glad and honored to have you with us this morning. We began this year with a theme of keep the focus and moving forward. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, in whom our faith depends from beginning to the end. So I'm not going to speak on this, but I just want to remind the congregation of our theme this year. When we started off, we encouraged people this year to pray and believe in God for breakthrough. Amen? We did that, remember? From the beginning of the year. Actually, it's been going on for as long as we exist as a church and as a community. Believing in God for breakthrough. Believing in God for breakthrough in our personal lives and our personal needs. And believing in God also for breakthrough for our families and our corporate need as a community. And we have seen God's amazing hand at work, didn't we? There are a lot of praise reports happening and sitting right here with us today. And sometimes it's wonderful for us to remind ourselves again that God is at work with his people. Amen? I think it's a wonderful thing as we stand here and celebrate God together. We are celebrating a God that is involved with his people. Amen? That dwells with his people. And I am excited about that. Not because for my sake, but I'm excited that I belong to a community, that I'm part of a community that is living, that is growing, that is impacting, that is sharing love for each other, that is learning from one another. And that we are impacting the community locally and globally. And I think it's a great honor for us to be able to share God together with each other. Let's see if this works. I'm going to rush up here, talk about our community, some beautiful people there. I hope you guys are not sick and tired of listening to me and promoting these beautiful people here. We talk about what is SIC, this community of believers, followers, and disciples of Jesus Christ, a community of faith. We are interdenominational. We come from all Christian background, amen? And we choose intentionally to be here together. We come from different cultures, and also we are promoting in terms of generation. We have now moved to grandparents' generation. those who were single a few years ago, now they are parents and they are fathers and mothers. And so the cycle continue. And we have people come and go, and we recognize also our model of our existence from the early church. They were a learning church. They submit themselves to the apostles' teaching, and we want to do that here in terms of our nurturing and growing in our faith and our relationship with God and each other. We are they were a loving church, so we made an effort not only to act out of love, but to be genuinely in the way we serve one another and serve the people who are different from us. In generosity, we give, and whether we have plenty or have none, there's an incredible amount of generosity that is here. That shows our love. And the early church, they were a worshiping church, and so are we. Our worship is not dependent upon our style or different preferences, but our worship comes from our heart that is genuine, that we want to give God the honor and the glory. Amen? The one who's been good to us. And also, there is an evangelistic aspect of us. Our daily life, as the early church, we know that they were so alive in their witness. They worship God. They break bread together and pray in different homes. And so is their witness. Every day, as they praise God every day, as they worship every day, their witness also about their faith continue to grow. And it says in Acts that God adding to their number daily those who are saved. Our mission is why we are here. What is our calling? Why do we exist as a church? Our ministry, three things. That is our ministry as a church. Our ministry to God in worship. Our ministry to believer in terms of our nurturing. And this happens in here, in our congregation meeting every Sunday. It happens in our growth group that existed. And our fellowship with each other. And our goal in that is to, Ephesians says that we will, one day will come, that we will prepare, that we will present our people before Christ, that they are mature in their walk. They're not still babies after 10 years. And our goal is to nurture our people from the youngest to the oldest in the knowledge of God, that they will grow in their faith. And then our ministry to the world in terms of evangelism. We know that we are sending teams in different parts of the world these last 2 years, and so is our witness here and wherever we are. Locally, we have our joint effort together when we did the International Day Out. That is our reaching out to the community. And then also there is our own personal involvement in building relationship with people in the community, being salt and light in wherever we go. There is a mercy also. Luke speaks about Jesus. In Luke, he spoke of loving your enemies, reaching out to those who are different from us, reaching out to those who are resistant to our faith in Christ. The Bible says that we need to give to these guys. We need to love them, because that's how God showed kindness to us, that we were still sinners. He died for us. Mercy Ministry. We have Dorcas Ministry that exists. Every Thursday they have food prepared for students and others in the community who would love to come and join. We have our sister here who's been faithful in cooking with her team. Cooking food and delicious food, so you should come Thursday at 6 p.m. and 5 p.m. and explore some of the secret ingredients here in this Dorcas Ministry. We also have clothes, yeah, and other stuff. And we wanna, not only that we arrive there, as a church, we wanna do better in what God has called us to do. Now, that's just a little bit information. Today, what I want to share on, we've been talking about community. Oh, okay. That S is supposed to be. So, don't worry about that. Anyways, in a community like ours, the scripture we read today speaks of the prayer of Jesus as he prayed for his disciple. His heart, as he turned his heart to the Father, and he prayed this amazing prayer for his disciples. And in that prayer, he pleaded to the Father to protect them because of the message that he gave them, the message of salvation. Not only that, to protect them also from all wrong. Not only that, that they will be able to carry the message that Christ has left for them. And then he prayed also for those who will hear their message, for those who will believe in their message, for those who will respond to their message. And that's the prayer we heard today. That the night before Jesus died, he prayed for you and I. He says here in verse 20, my prayer is not just for the disciples, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That all of them may be one. Just as you and I. Yeah? You are in me and I'm in you. May they also be in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, and in them, you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I'm at and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation. What we see here is a biblical mandate of the church. That it comes from the very heart of God. What we're going to do is to look at some of the obstacles that we face. He said that until that we become one, the world will know why you send me. There's something very powerful about that. There is the message of God is not only that we proclaim, but also our intentional coming together as a church is a message in itself. Amen? That until the church come to that place of unity, yeah, that place of oneness, we will see and experience the breakthrough, the move of God in a different way. I was talking with some of the pastors a long time ago, and we were talking about joining service together sometimes. And then one of the pastors said, for us, it'll be difficult for us to I think it's better if we just join together in doing activities, but not service. Because we have a different style of worship. So, in other words, we don't fit in your style. Or you will not be familiar with our style. So, we understand that. And that was the conversation, and that was it. Is God concerned about our style? Is that important to him? When Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman in John, I think it's chapter 20, or chapter 4. That's right. And he said to the Samaritan woman, they had this conversation, and then it turned into a conversation of worship. The Samaritan said, we worship here, our forefathers. You guys worship in the temple. And Jesus says something very radical. He said, listen, woman, a time is coming and has now come when neither you, the Samaritan, will worship on the mountain or the Jews in the temple, but you will worship. The time is coming when worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And then he said, for these are the kind of worshipers that the Father is looking for. See? Nearly 70 years after this conversation, the Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman Emperor. So I render it probably impossible for Jews. In other words, what I get from this is that before that, Jesus was saying two things here. He was giving out a prophecy of something that is going to happen. Yeah, he said, a time is coming and has now come. And the second thing that is important, that he said, for this is the kind of worshiper that the Father is looking for. In other words, before the temple was destroyed, God already transferred the requirement of worship from physical or style or whatever into a spiritual condition stated by Jesus. It's going to be in spirit and it's going to be in truth. I look at that and I say, wow. What is in spirit? What is truth? What is the opposite of truth? We'll come back there. I think it's a good thing for us to think about those things. When we look at some of the obstacles that we face as a diverse community, it's easy to identify what stands before us. Amen? And we try to navigate our way. And we are doing good in that. But in every challenges, in every obstacles that we face, there is a call for commitment in how we rise up instead of evade the situation. There is a call for commitment to the church in how we're going to journey together in this walk. Despite our differences, I remember when I came into this church, I was asked to be the assistant pastor, and I was going to meet Pastor Vida, who's a Lutheran priest. I am a Baptist. Yeah, but I don't carry that with me. I'm a Christian. When we met together to see if we can work together, I sat there with him, and the first time we communicate, there's tears in both our eyes. There's this connection that is not separated by our differences. When I listen to these Lutheran pastors, there are many obstacles that are there theologically. I look at him and I say in my heart, I will serve this man. I will commit myself so that he can be successful. A successful pastor brings a successful church. Then I will be there for him. Yeah? There are many obstacles. We could easily point out those things and say, mm-mm. But a believer in God. So I stood with him. And our relationship today is far deeper and greater than before. We still work together. He is my brother. He prays for me. We journey together. He comes. I go to his office. We meet. We pray. I speak in their confirmation. In many other things that they've done, there is this trust there. There's this spiritual impartation that we are involved with each other as a church. That we are helping one another grow together. Amen? Some of the obstacles, of course, I'm just going to go through that. Jesus, in his prayer, he prayed earnestly that this will happen. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not going to talk too much about it. So we have theological obstacles. We have philosophical obstacles. I remember I was listening to a conversation in one of our retreat camp, and I heard these two Christian brothers going on about Donald Trump and the other one. It's a political stuff. And I said, hey, guys, we'll pray for America, and we'll pray let's pray, you know. And in our community, what would I do as a pastor? I will encourage people to keep their political preferences by themselves. And let's focus on building each other and pray for the nations and the leaders of the world. Amen? There are relational obstacles. There are practical obstacles. There are spiritual obstacles. I remember there was a meeting. And these guys was praying, you know, different expression, you know. It's I'm used to different kinds of expression that I've seen over the past decades. This is a funny story. This guy, we were praying, and then suddenly he said, "The Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil and flee away from you. So now I'm going to flee from all of you." Our spiritual obstacle. We come with our background, guys. So in many places I've been, and I've seen what do you call the whole aspect of assimilation. This is what we do. You come. Change yourself so you can fit into us. And there is a different aspect when we accommodate people is a whole different story. Amen? When God loves us, it's not that we were perfect. He loves us because he loves us. Because he chose to love us. He brought us into this world. He brought us into this community of faith in which we can grow and understand his words and his principle and slowly move and follow that the word of God as we follow transform our lives and bring freedom to us. When I look around us, we have people from all diverse background. And I say hallelujah. Amen? Amen. That our strength comes from us recognizing the prayer of Jesus. Are we, you know, there are many, many projects the churches are doing. We have done, I have done, in which we reach out towards those who are the diverse others. You know, we have projects that are dedicated for those who are different from us, that we're reaching out to them, and that's wonderful. But at most of the time, it seems like that we become more engaged in reaching out, then leaving out also our diversity to the world. Amen? As a church, that means to walk as one, to living out the prayer of Jesus. He said, for this is when we do this, This is also the message of the gospel. So some of these obstacles that we can think about, and here comes our commitment. Every obstacles, there is a commitment. That we embrace dependence. What does that mean, that we embrace dependence? I think it was Matthew 17, Jesus healed a young boy from demonic oppression. And then the disciples came, Jesus, we tried to do that, but it doesn't happen. Jesus said, because you have little faith. He said, this kind does not go out by prayer, but by prayer and fasting. You see? Our dependence on God, a corporate dependence on God as a church, reflects that. Our prayer, our fasting together, and our pursuing the call of God to manifest here in among us, despite of our differences. Another part is that we take intentional steps. That we are not here by accident, we choose to be here. And what we do is comes out of our attitude and our intention. So our intentionality and both our attitude and our action to do what God calls us to do together, it permeates from out here, from in here to the world. That, wow, look at that group. What I'm saying here, I'm just also confirming what's already been done here. Amen? Jesus said, I'm the true vine, Christ, and he only produces the fruit. But this is the thing, and it is the task of the branches to bear that fruit. And that's us. And we can only do that when we corporately abide in him. We empower diverse leaders, people that are different from us. One day I was in this church in Portland, Oregon, and I live in the inner city, one of the most dangerous inner city area. And then we were working with the after-school program for kids who comes from kids at risk. But the whole community has been torn apart by poverty and crime. So we move into this dangerous neighborhood in order to live there and minister from there. And then, a few months later, I got a job as a worship leader in one of the big church in suburbia area of Portland. It was two different worlds when I drive from the neighborhood into the Intel area of Portland, Oregon. The house changed, the demographic change. You stepping into this huge, humongous church, and then we wear different glasses. And so when I came there, they were making an effort to see how they can reach out to the community. But I live there. And, and then this word, this was decades ago. And then somebody said the word reconciliation. And then the moment that word came, someone spoke up. I don't like this word. I feel like I have to apologize to somebody. Of course. You know, so we were all learning, we were there, we were discussing as leaders, and I kept at that time I used to be quiet. So I just, and then suddenly the pastor said, Julie, you have something to say about reconciliation? Reconciliation is not just apologizing. I believe part of reconciliation is us welcoming the spiritual impartation of those that we undermine. Amen? That they have the right to also to be in the presence of God, not just us. Welcoming the spiritual impartation of the nations. Instead of you're welcome here, but put those things back door. No, welcome from India, from Fiji, from Nigeria. We need you. We need your spiritual impartation in building the community and walking together as one to what God has called us to do. Amen? And I look at that, and I've never seen it that way. To do that, to recognize people, look beyond who they are and their color, and say, God, I wonder what your dream for this one is. That is what we fight for. We fight for God's purpose in our lives. There are stories and testimony that rest in this place of God's goodness. All right, keep going. We pursue cross-cultural competence. Promote the spirit of inclusion and develop cross-cultural relationship. Mobilize for impact. Amen? You know what the word prejudice is defined as? A performed opinion concerning someone or something. But we have overcome that. Our opinion is no longer prejudice, but our opinion is realigning ourselves to the opinion of God for others. Amen? Lord, what do you think? How about this man? Lord, how can I pray for this guy? How can I fight in the place of prayer for breakthrough in their lives? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 22 said that we are being built together, amen, to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And outward, in order to bless the city of Stavanger and those where we represent, people, lead people to Christ, for us to encourage the greater body of Christ and to fulfill the Great Commission. That's amazing that we come from all diversity, a diverse background, and we are united together as one. The message is still the same in Ephesians. Preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, in all. The biblical mandate of God is right here. That's us. Amen? I'm going to close with a prayer. I'm going to invite us to pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask you to unveil our eyes, to see your hands and your Spirit at work in our lives, in this community. Help us to unite together despite of our differences. Help us to be one in mind, one in heart. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite us to stand up together. We are going to read together our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Shall we be seated? It's time for offertory.